Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you very much, Jay. Over the last several weeks, we have been studying about the future and what God's Word tells us will happen. We've been studying Bible prophecy. Today we want to begin a study of the book of Ezekiel found in the Old Testament. But before we begin our study, I would like to review our previous studies on the keys to understanding God's plan for the future.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Just reminding you again as we go through these five keys to unlocking God's plan for the future. The first day we talked about the roadmap through eschatology, the rapture, the seven-year tribulation, the return, thousand-year millennial kingdom, the great white throne judgment, and then into eternity future. If indeed you're going to study Bible prophecy and come to some conclusions where God is in His time, you're going to have to understand this roadmap through eschatology. We understand that the rapture is the next event and there's nothing has to happen before it. No prophecy must be fulfilled. Every prophecy yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled after the rapture of the church or someplace before it. Then we talked about focusing on the Jew and Jerusalem, and that will be key to being able to know what God is doing in His time. On this roadmap through eschatology, you can place every single prophetic event that is yet to happen. And that will then enhance your understanding of exactly how we are in a, I believe, a time in history like never before when the Lord is about to return. We started then with Daniel, a timeline for the Gentile. Remember, three members of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Each of those members of the human family have a timeline. For the Gentile, it's the book of Daniel. That begins the times of the Gentile world powers. And we looked at Daniel and four major chapters in Daniel, chapters 2, 7, 9, and 11. Chapter 2 talked about the Gentile world powers that would come into existence: the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire, which has basically never been completed. According to Daniel, chapter 7 is to reach out and cover and control the entire known world, and that is the revived Roman Empire. The 10 toes of iron and clay over in chapter 2 of Daniel. Also the 10 horns of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7 as it talks about a unit that would be of some type. 10 kingdoms, 10 regions, 10 nations, whatever, that would make up the revived Roman Empire. And that yet to come to power. And then after that, there will arise one, the little horn, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8. That's his name in Daniel 7. In Daniel 9, he's the prince that shall come, verse 26. In chapter 11, verse 36, he's the willful king. Jesus called him the false Messiah. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 called him the wicked one, the man of sin, the son of perdition. In Revelation, John the Revelator called him the beast out of the sea, and that word beast used 42 times after chapter 13, verse 1 in Revelation, which lays out the activities of the Antichrist, which that is his name given in 1 John chapter 2. The Bible tells us that this man, Revelation 13, a man that Satan selects will be energized by Satan. He will receive his power and his seat of authority from Satan himself, and he will be used to cause the world to fall under his leadership. In chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, it says we have five Gentile world powers already. That would be the Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Grecian, and the Medo-Persian and the Grecian. And then he said there's a sixth, the Roman, and a seventh yet to come, the revived Roman Empire. And out of that seventh come the eighth, which is made up of the seventh, and that's the Antichrist and his rule during this seven-year period of time. The Satanic Trinity will be the major player, and that's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Jesus gave a lot of information as well about those days. He said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4, 5, 11, and 24, that the number one sign, you might remember Jesus in Matthew 24, it was Monday afternoon of the Passion Week, and after teaching on the Temple Mount, he left and he went to the Mount of Olives, and he delivered his famous Olivet Discourse. And they asked him, would you give us some signs of your coming? And by the way, I've told you that Matthew 24 does not deal with Christians. It's dealing with Jews and Gentiles. It's interesting to note that the Jews require a sign, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And they will receive those signs which Jesus gave them. And he said the number one sign is deception. He uses that word deception four times in Matthew 24, verses 4, 5, 11, and 24. In fact, in verse 24, he says the way that that deception will be communicated is through signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, we must be aware of the fact that that is a lead-up to the appearance of Antichrist, signs, wonders, and miracles. We have a proliferation of signs, wonders, and miracles today. If you don't believe that, just go on any so-called Christian television network station on your television, and you'll see a proliferation of signs, wonders, and miracles. The other day I was at the house, I was doing the godly thing. Judy and I were there home for just a day, and I had the clicker in my hand, and I was controlling the surfing through the channels. And we came to one of these so-called Christian television networks. If I told you the man's name, you'd recognize it immediately. But here's what he said. He said, do you have a dead loved one at your house? Roll their casket into the living room up beside the television. Turn on this television Christian network. Lift the hand of your dead loved one out of the casket. Put it on the television. They'll be resurrected from the dead. That's a lie from the pit. And we get so involved. So many Christians are duped by these things that they see. You're probably maybe thinking, Dr. DeYoung, don't you think that Jesus can perform a miracle? Listen, I believe Jesus can do whatever he wants to. I don't tell him what he does and what he doesn't do. I tell you what he says. He said deception through signs, wonders, and miracles. Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, they will use signs, wonders, and miracles to cause the world to worship the Antichrist. Chapter 16, verse 13, Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet will use signs, wonders, and miracles to gather the people at Jerusalem for that campaign of Armageddon. And so it is throughout all of the scriptures. In prophetic passages, you'll see signs, wonders, and miracles are a lead up. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And that prepares the way for the Antichrist. Today we come to the second member of the human family, and that would be the Jewish people. And God has an end time scenario, a timeline for the Jewish people as well. And that's found in the book of Ezekiel. So if you will, go with me to the book of Ezekiel. This is a time when Ezekiel is going to be, after having studied for 28 years and become qualified as a priest. Chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel says that Ezekiel is 30 years of age. That's the age when a Jewish young man will become a priest. Ezekiel, we know, is a priest. He is also a prophet. There are several other men who were prophets as well as priests. Jeremiah and Zechariah were both priests and prophets as well. God uniquely chooses people to do what he wants them to do with their background many, many times so that he can accomplish what he wants. We're going to see in the end that in chapters 40 to 46, 202 verses, Ezekiel is going to lay out the coming temple for the Messiah, Messiah's temple or the millennial temple. And he has selected the man who would be best to do that, the prophet priest Ezekiel. When we start the passage, though, start the study of Ezekiel, he is not yet a prophet. He is a priest, and he's going to be taken out of the land of Israel into the Babylonian captivity. Daniel in 605 BC was taken into the Babylonian captivity. 597 BC is when Ezekiel is going to be taken out into the Babylonian captivity. And he's going to be taken to a place called Tel Aviv. That's not the Tel Aviv that we know in Israel. This one is in the area, the region of Babylon. It's on the Chebar River, and it's a tributary off the Euphrates River. And that's where Ezekiel and about 10,000 Jewish people are taken to be in the captivity. It is at this time when God gives Ezekiel the idea that he is going to be a prophet. Look at chapter 2, if you will, with me. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. By the way, that's not an anti-Semitic statement. I've used that term about the Jewish people, saying they are hard-headed, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted. That's what the Lord is telling to Ezekiel. These are an impudent people. They're going to be a people that will rebel against you. Verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And so God takes this man who's qualified to be a priest. He makes him a prophet. He sends him to his own people, a rebellious, hard-headed, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, a people that are going to mock Ezekiel every time he tries to bring some judgment or reveal, communicate to them some judgment of some type. In chapter 3, he makes him a watchman as well. Look at verse 17. Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now, in biblical times, a watchman was one who would stand up on the wall of the city. And every city had a wall. That was their line of defense. Every one of these walled cities would have a watchman that would walk and look out across the horizon to see if there was an approaching enemy. Should there be an enemy approaching, he would quickly turn around and yell at the people, announce there is an incoming danger of some type. Well, God has a plan for, I think, not only Ezekiel, but many of us, all of us, in fact, should be a watchman. Again, look at verse 17 and see what a watchman does. Son of man, and by the way, that phrase, son of man, is used a number of times in Ezekiel. It's God's favorite name for Ezekiel. The only other time that phrase is used in the Bible is in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and once over in the book of Revelation, and that was the name for Jesus Christ. So this is how much Ezekiel was endeared to God the Father. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. The watchman will hear the word from God. Hear exactly what God wants to be communicated and warn the people. If anything, I guess my ministry would have to be that of a watchman, endeavoring to study the prophetic word of God, looking at current events in light of the prophetic scenario found in God's word, and then warning the people of what is going to happen. That's exactly what God does to Ezekiel.
God does indeed make the prophet Ezekiel a watchman. Remember, a watchman, according to Ezekiel 3:17, a watchman will hear the word from the Lord and then warn the people. I believe that God wants both you and me to be watchmen. As we hear the prophetic word of God telling us of the future, we must warn the people of this world. You know, as we watch the current events happening in our world today and compare them with the prophetic scenario that's found in Ezekiel for the last days, we indeed must be about warning people that Jesus is coming again. Next week on the broadcast, we'll continue our study of Ezekiel and learn how the Lord uniquely used this man to warn the Jewish people of God's plan for the future. Right now, however, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study on Ezekiel.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...